In the name of Jesus.
How ordinary Jesus' call, come and have breakfast. Yet how awesome, how never before such a breakfast. What is so peculiar? What is the meaning? Or rather, what happens? If nothing happens, there is no meaning. Stories made up to point a moral are tailored to that moral. In the account of what happened in today's gospel, there's a load of things that don't fit. As we've learned in hermeneutics, it's the bits which don't fit the hypothesis which need to be particularly attended to. Anything that actually happens always has bits that don't really fit. There's what's everyday ordinary, and there's what's extraordinary. Back into ordinary is Peter's, "Well, I'm going to do some fishing." What else was there? That's the only thing he really knew how to do. Now that the whole Jesus thing was over, that was history. What was there left? Do some fishing. He was at home in that, the comfort of a known skill, filling in the void. We saw that in the women. When it was all over with Jesus, what was there left for them? They did what was women's work for the corpse, all that was left to them of Jesus. There was that loving work still to be done. In contrast with that, the men funked out, cowering behind locked doors in fear for themselves. We're next. You can get lost in the void and in your busyness. So Peter goes fishing, and the others, "We'll come too." All night, not a thing. A man on the shore. "How did it go, lads? Haven't you caught anything?" "Paideia," he calls them. Very belonging, and perhaps something more, as paterfamilias at a table. We've all heard sermons which tell of all the things that are backwards in what happens here. 153 fish. Some exegetes, none of our lads, have cracked their heads in the attempt to discover why 153. There couldn't just be 153. The text says 153, and if that's not so, then there simply is no end to inquiring why it couldn't possibly be 152. What's been going on, we are given to the clue to in "This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to his disciples after he was raised from the dead." Ephanerothe, now there's a Johannine word. Jesus does that with signs, seven of them, signs, not miracles. But now, in chapter 21, there's another one. That does mess up the neat pattern of seven. The whole chapter is rather like a sermon that doesn't know when to stop. It swings around one more time. Chapter 20 brings things to a perfect conclusion, and then there's more. Chapter 21. And in chapter 21, there's just so much that we can't fit in. Least of all, the risen Lord. Jesus won't let us fit him in. We don't fit him in. He fits us in with himself. And that's more than we could ever possibly imagine. Now, none of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" The answer we are given is our being told what happened, what he did, what he does, says, and gives. Best then we let Jesus get on with being the sort of Jesus he is, says, does, and gives. Any Jesus that we can make fit into our notions and prescriptions can only last as long as we can sustain our notions and projections. Nothing fills his place. Only he, our risen Lord, who goes on now to see that his sheep and lambs get fed. His way with Peter, his way with John, his way with you and with me. What a way to go about building his church. Try and get a handle on that. Anyway, do not hesitate when it is Jesus who calls to feed you. It is the Lord. Amen.